Welcome to Ignite with Tito Bez Idakula, the podcast where we share all things about God's light, His love, His kindness. This is a podcast where you leave feeling illuminated, empowered, and loved. Thank you for listening. Okay, so I'm sorry I didn't, this wasn't released on Friday just because mommy life was mommying, and sometimes when I'm about to feel guilty about not, you know, being 100% on point, I have to remember to be kind to myself. I have to remember that there's a lot going on. Last week was one of those weeks where I found myself solo parenting a lot and I was just mentally exhausted. But God has been kind and I'm happy that I'm able to keep doing this. And obviously this is also a sign that I just need to organize my life better and also not take on too much. I found that because as I felt I stopped working, I was taking on a lot more than I had the capacity for. And I had to be honest with myself to say, I am working in terms of I am taking care of my kids, I am taking care of my home. I started coaching a lot. Some people have already reached out for coaching and that's been amazing. So I've been coaching as well, which is work. I've also been helping more people in church with counseling, discipling. I've also then started to put together a vision that I've had for group coaching for those that are healing from baby loss and also for those that are trying to walk into their unique purpose and, you know, follow God's instructions for them. I'll share more information about that in future, but I do have a few things coming up. So I am quite busy. I'm not forgetting that my husband's tour is coming up and I am working with him on that as well. So I am quite busy and quite stretched. And so when I say I'm not working, that's not true. I am doing everything else and I still consider it work because I am about my father's business. So anyway, thank you again for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate you listening. If this is your first time, welcome. Don't forget to share your review, share with friends, leave a comment, tell me what you think, send me an email. I would just really, really like to hear from you. And remember to subscribe. Please subscribe. Okay, that's it. So this week's conversation is all about forgiveness and offense. And I think I want to term it love and mercy, or mercy. I don't know what I want to call it. Forgiveness and mercy. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see what comes up. But anyway, I just want to talk about forgiveness as a broad term because I think it's really important to talk about this. Now, let me tell you where this came from for me. The other day, I was somewhere. I don't want to say too much so nobody deciphers anything. I was somewhere and I saw somebody that really, really upset me. They had hurt my feelings really deeply. And this was not one of those, oh, you know, gray lines. Maybe I did something to them and, you know, they were just trying to hurt me back. No, this was a clear sign of somebody messed up and it wasn't me and I was the victim. It was a clear case of Tito is the victim in this situation and I was completely justified in being angry and being hurt, you know, in being resentful. All my emotions were valid. I say this for anybody that is dealing with these emotions. They were valid, right? So I go into this place and I see this person and this person looks in my direction and they could not look at me. You know, when they look at you and then they glance away very quickly because they were uncomfortable. I could see their shame. I could see their guilt. I could see their discomfort at the fact that they were in the same space with me. And I loved it. And this had been happening over days. Like every time they saw me talking to a mutual friend, they would just take the other direction because they were so uncomfortable being around me. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, you better walk away. Better walk away, because if you dare come to me, I'll let you know your life story. So you better keep your distance from me. You know, that was my energy. I was justified. The fighter in me was out, ready to pounce if anybody came at me, you know, ready to read them their whole life story. I was just ready. So this person would always avoid me. So the other day they were doing the same thing, avoiding me. And I was loving it. I felt like a queen. I'm like, yep, that's how they're meant to feel, because shame on them. And then as I was doing that, I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, what is this spirit you're operating on? What spirit is operating in you? Because this can't be me. Like, I have the Holy Spirit. I don't operate in emotions of, like, you know, anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment. I mean, those are not feelings that I necessarily want anybody to sit in. The Holy Spirit is saying to me that, you know, that person, I have an assignment for them. And in you looking at them in that way and you wishing them bad and, you know, you wishing them failure, because I was wishing them all those things, what you're essentially saying is that you're trying to derail them from the assignment I gave to them. Because one thing that I'm learning, one thing the Holy Spirit was then teaching me, was that all of us, and because this person is also a Christian, and now I know that somebody might say, well, maybe they're not good Christians if they act the same way, but God is working on all of us. We all come from different places, different experiences. Our lives are shaped by different traumas, different childhood experiences, different belief systems, right? So just because somebody is not acting the way you think Christians should act does not make them less of a Christian than you. So God was like, I have a plan for that person, and you wishing them failure means that what you're saying is that my plans for them should not come to pass. Ooh, I was like, wait a minute, it's not that deep, Holy Spirit, like, calm down, it's not that deep. And it's like, yeah, he said, you know, when you're talking about, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper, in you wishing that person ill, you are a weapon that is being fashioned against them, and you will not prosper. And that means that now when the person is praying, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper, you are the weapon they're praying against, because you're the one that is wishing that they will not succeed. So you cannot prosper against them, and you're bringing on curses to yourself. Guys, I was like, okay, wait, it's really not that deep. But then God started to explain to me that it is that deep. It is that deep. In this journey where we carry offense in our hearts and, you know, somebody hurts us and we are justified in choosing not to forgive, we have to understand the impact of what those emotions are doing to us. Now, it was even more dangerous because I realized that many times when I was praying, the memories of what this person did to me kept coming back. And so I'll think about it even as I'm praying, and I'm just picturing, you know how you're picturing, like, situations where you'll be in the same room and you can talk to them and tell them how you feel, and you're just, all these imaginary scenarios that come into your head. That was what was always happening with me. And I just realized that I wasn't even paying attention to how that much also affected my prayer life. And then, you know, God was like, why do you think that even when you're praying, one thing we always say is, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's one of the things that Jesus really emphasizes in our Lord's Prayer. You know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Why do you think it's so important that God has to say it in your prayer? Like, what is it that you think? Do you think it's just so whatever it is, like, do whatever? No. It's one of the key things. Because as the same way you're asking God to forgive your imperfections, your sin, your trespasses, is the same way that somebody else also needs us to forgive them. You cannot expect to receive that from God if you're not willing to give it to somebody else. I think the other thing that the Holy Spirit was then emphasizing was that it's not about whether the person deserves it or not. Many times when we ask God for forgiveness, it's not because we deserve it. Like, Jesus already died for on the cross for our sins, because not because we deserved it, but because of his mercy. So God was like, when you also then get the opportunity to forgive somebody, whether they deserve it or not, you're showing them an element of God that is in you. That is how you show that you're literally made in the image of God, because you're also able to forgive and show mercy to somebody who does not deserve it. You don't only show mercy and forgiveness to the person that deserves it. You show it to the person that doesn't. Because that is what God does for us. And he says you end up walking in a unique power, in a unique identity in Christ, when you're able to take it to that next level, where when somebody offends you, you're not looking at thinking, oh, until you pay me back before I forgive you. You're looking at it and saying, because I am made in the image and likeness of God, because God is love, I choose to forgive you. I choose to show you mercy in the same way God has given shown me mercy. And I think that was, those were new elements to forgiveness that I had not really gone into personally. And when I started to look at it like that, I thought, oh, this thing really matters. Because God is always forgiving us. Every second, there's always something that we're like, oh, we're falling short. And we just go back, I plead the blood. You know, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, God, have mercy on me. And he shows us mercy. And it's interesting because then I was then being reminded of a situation that happened to me where I was on the receiving end of somebody's mercy. Or, well, I was asking for it. You see, I'd really messed up. I had done something that really hurt somebody, and this one was, the person had every right to be angry with me. And one thing I realized, like, the person was telling everybody what I did wrong, and there was this crazy shame I carried around. I was so embarrassed. Like, when I saw our mutual friends, I wouldn't want to talk because I didn't feel confident, because I knew they knew something I had done wrong. So I knew that I couldn't even share opinions on certain things because I knew they would be judging me and saying, oh, coming from you, you know, that's rich. The guilt, the shame, the embarrassment, it consumed me. In fact, there was a time when, even when I posted on social media, all I was thinking was, I'm sure this person is rolling their eyes and folding to their friends and laughing and saying, oh, coming from her. It really, really was a heavy burden on me. And I remember messaging the person a few times to say, oh, I am so sorry. Please have mercy on me. And the person didn't reply. And it really shattered me. And it took a lot for me to come out of that place of shame, to just walk in my unique purpose and identity, regardless of what I felt they were saying about me to their friends, or what they were thinking about me, or the fact that they were aware that I was not such a perfect person. And God started to remind me of how that felt. And he said to me that, Tito, if these are the emotions that really almost consumed you, and these are the same emotions you're wishing on somebody else, that cannot be operating under my light. If anything, the only one that is happy about these emotions that you're carrying or that you're trying to impose on somebody is the devil. That in fact, for you to be happy when somebody is feeling shame around you, feeling guilt, feeling uncomfortable, feeling condemnation around you, it means that you're aligning with the demonic power of the enemy. That those feelings are demonic. Yes, demonic. And I know it might make somebody uncomfortable, but honestly, think about it. If God is love, if God is kind, if God is good, if God is just, if God is generous, if God is loving, and then you, who is meant to be made in the image and likeness of God, is angry all the time, is resentful, is bitter, is wishing evil on somebody else because they hurt you, is wishing someone's downfall and failure. If you're wishing those things on somebody else and you say you're made in the image and likeness of God, especially if that other person is also a fellow Christian, as far as you know, if that's what you're wishing on somebody else, you need to ask yourself, who am I in agreement with? Am I really a reflection of God, or am I a reflection of the devil? Who are you agreeing with when these are the emotions that are bringing you joy? When people are not comfortable around you because your anger is like an electric current. When they don't feel safe around you because they messed up. I'm thinking about my kids. I'm thinking about how many times I need to forgive my kids. And I've seen it happen with my kids where when they know mommy is angry, they're keeping their distance, right? And I have to be the one to say, oh yeah, I'm angry, but guys, I forgive you. I love you. It's okay. I'm still safe. Be around me. That reassurance is so important. Now, with the person that hurt me, they don't need a reassurance from me. But I also want them to know that, you know, be you. I'm not God. It's not my place to judge you. Because if God were to judge me for all my imperfections, I honestly don't know where I will be. I am literally a product of God's grace, his mercy, his love, his kindness. And you know, in Ephesians 3, one of the prayers that Paul prays is that may we be so rooted in God's love. I'm trying to find it. May we be so rooted in God's love. It says, from Ephesians 3:17, it says, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and deep it is. And high is the Lord, love of Christ. I'm going to read that again because it didn't flow well in my mouth the first time. It says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And know that this, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Another version says, may you be so rooted in God's love that it flows out of you. If you're deeply rooted in God's love for us, right, there'll be a way that even when we deal with offense, we're able to release it, because the base of what we are prayed from is the base is God's love, not our traumas, not our disappointments, not our fear. For God's love. And because we are so secure in that love, it means that we can release forgiveness as often as necessary. Because offense will not even be comfortable in our soul. It will literally be poison to us. Oh, Nancy, so that's not fair. You mean I should just let go of all my emotions and my anger? No. I'm not saying you should just let go. You can't do it on your own, in your own power. But do you know that when we pray, we say, oh, have faith in God. We talk about have faith in God for provision financially, for, you know, if you're waiting for a child, we have faith in God for that. We have faith in God for jobs. We have faith in God for so many things. Can we also have faith in God to help us forgive those who have trespassed against us? Can we also make that a faith journey? Like, hey, I'm struggling to forgive this person, but I have faith in God that God will help me to forgive them. And who knows, maybe even love them. But at least let's start with forgiveness. God will help me to see this person and not want to punch them in the face. God will help me to know that this person deserves punishment, but I'm going to show them mercy. God will help me to the point where the emotion that I feel will not be pain, but maybe pity for that person. Can we also have faith for those things? It can be a faith journey. I'm not saying you pretend it doesn't happen. It does. That's why, you know, I always talk about, like, you journal your emotions. You talk to someone. You talk to God and say, God, this thing is paining me. It's hurting my feelings. I am hurt. This person hurt me and I don't know how to let go. And then you take it back to God. Can we make it a faith thing? I think it's just interesting how important forgiveness is and how we kind of don't seem to realize it. And many of us are walking in offense and forgiveness and all of that, thinking we are whole and we're not. And because look at what Jesus Christ said. He said, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. How can he say when you start praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him? Can you imagine how important it is that if they're saying that don't even pray until you're forgiving someone? So is it possible that all of us that we're praying now, we have maybe unforgiveness in our hearts, we might be praying amiss? And I'm wondering why our prayers are not being answered. Could it be that God wants you to forgive somebody in the same way he's forgiving you? Because guess what? That unforgiveness is also a stronghold the devil would use against you. He will use it to literally stain your white and show, oh, she's not so perfect. God, look at the person that you're. But God is so kind and merciful that he will still show us mercy even despite of it. It says, do not let do not go to sleep in anger. It's evil and it's not working for you. Let's look at like the story of like Joseph. And you know, everybody always talks about Joseph and like, oh, Joseph forgave his brothers. He did. But what I find interesting about Joseph is that he didn't immediately forgive either. When he first saw his brothers, please read the book of Genesis. I don't have to tell you the whole story of Joseph and his brothers. But basically, in summary, they were jealous of him. They kidnapped him, sold him to slave traders. He was a slave in Potiphar's house for 7 years. They tried to rape him. Potiphar's wife tried to sexually assault him. He ran away, ended up in jail and was lied against. And then guess what? He ended up in jail for another 7 years before God then supernaturally brought him out of that. And then he became literally the prime minister of Egypt, the one deciding who got food, who didn't, the one making all the key decisions. That's where he went to, from being the unwanted slave, the prisoner, to literally ruling one of the largest nations in the world at the time. And that tells you a lot. So even when we're thinking about forgiveness, we don't know who the person that we've offended or who has offended us is going to be one day, and how in us holding offense We don't even know how that could impact future situations for us. Anyway, so Joseph is now prime minister. His brothers come, the same brothers that sold him to slavery, and now they're begging for food from him. They want to buy. But one thing that was interesting was that the brothers did not even recognize him, but he recognized them. So once again, you as a victim, you're the one that carries most of the emotions, because the person that hurts you probably is even moving on. Like for me now, I could still see the person was a bit ashamed of themselves, but that's because they saw me. When they don't see me, I don't think they're thinking about me in the way, not in the same way I'm thinking about them, because I was always thinking about them. I'll be praying, I'm thinking about them. I'll be talking to somebody, I'll bring it up. I'll want to do something, I just unlock memory from nowhere. That's why I say it's demonic, because I'm literally going cooking my food next night. I'm like, I cannot wait to see that person. What I'm going to do to that person? Why? Where is that coming from? So anyway, back to Joseph. So they come and he sees them and he immediately recognizes these people that made his life hell. Because let's understand that even though he was prime minister, we still saw that Joseph, the Egyptians did not even sit with Joseph to eat because they considered him contaminated and abomination. So he couldn't even sit. So even though it was there, it was still not fully there. It was still not fully part of that society. It was not fully accepted. They found him helpful in terms of growing the economy and all of that, but they didn't find him to be one of them. So imagine living in that environment in isolation, you know, separated from family and all of that, and just being leading at the same time. So he sees his brothers and he remembers all the pain they've caused him. And one thing people always miss is that Joseph's first reaction was not, oh, my brothers, I forgive you, come. His first reaction was accusing them of being spies, knowing fully well they were not. His first reaction was, hey, lock them in jail. And then after that, guess what? In fact, 11 of you guys can go, but one of you must stay. I wonder if he kept the one that actually was, he felt was the mastermind of his dilemma in prison the most. Who was it that stayed? One of the brothers, Simeon, was one of the ones that stayed and stayed for a long time before they came back for him. But Joseph's immediate reaction was, oh, I forgive you. Come, come, come. No, his first reaction was, lock them up. They're spies. They're this, accusing them wrongly. The same he had been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. That's what he did first. That was his trauma response. And so when we talk about even someone like Joseph and how he forgave, it's okay to also acknowledge that he didn't do it instantly. So when I'm talking about forgiveness, I don't want you to think that I'm like, oh, forgive immediately. No, I understand that it's not that easy. So also be kind to yourself for the trauma response you have to such a situation. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. Because what happened was that after Joseph locked all his brothers up, he came back and he said, because I fear God, I'll let you go. Go and bring proof that you're really who you say you are. He knew who they were, but I think he wanted them to bring his brother and his father to him. So he was playing a long game. He knew that maybe their shame and their guilt would not allow them to deal with him honestly. I don't know. But he said, because I fear God. And I thought, what happened in the 3 days from when he locked his brothers up to when he came back and released them and said, because I fear God? Could it be that in those 3 days he was wrestling with God and said, God, how do I want revenge? I'm ready to take revenge on these people. I'm ready to get my pound of flesh. I'm ready to show them. Could it be that that's what he was saying to God? And God was saying, no, Joseph, you're not going to do that. Calm down. I know you're angry. What was he talking to God about for 3 days that all he came back to say is, it's because I fear God? Could it be that in those 3 days God was convicting him on why he needed to let them go? Because these 12 brothers were the tribes of Israel that God was going to use. These 12 brothers were the future of Abraham, the descendants that God had promised. You could not lock them up. Joseph did not know he could not be selfish in his pain. He had to also make sure that he aligned with God. And eventually he said that because of what you did to me, the devil, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Even the thing that the brothers thought they had done to him to destroy his future and everything was the same thing God then used. So they were able to then see things from God's perspective. So I pray that whatever you're going through, whether you're the offender or the offensee or whatever, I pray that you start asking God for his perspective on that situation. God, why did you let this happen to me? God, why did you let this person get away with it? God, this thing hurt me. God, how am I supposed to move forward with this? Father, I am in pain. It's not fair. I don't want to release it. But because I fear you, And not fear in terms of, oh, I know that you send me to hell, but fear in terms of, I'm in awe of you and I trust you. A holy type of fear. You know the kind of fear that made Moses take off his shoes and said, this is holy ground. That kind of fear that I'll be like, you know what, Lord, I honor you, I reverence you so much that even when it doesn't make sense, even when it hurts, I will trust you. I will release this pain to you and do with it what I know that you, only you can. I will trust you with my pain because I know that you're kind and you're fair and you're just. So maybe that's the prayer. God, help me to see it as you see it. The same way Joseph said, because, you know, you meant it for evil, but God turned it around for good. God meant it for good. And guess what? Those brothers, it's so funny because even those brothers, you know how we said that they didn't recognize Joseph. They didn't recognize Joseph, but the guilt and shame of what they did with Joseph was still carrying them around, because what they said was, oh, could this be happening to us because of what we did to Joseph? Meanwhile, Joseph was standing right there. So we think that the offenders also don't remember. But sometimes when things go wrong, the guilt will come back and say, maybe it's because of that thing we did. So everybody's in prison in one way or the other. You who has been offended is in prison, because every time you're thinking that you're moving in joy, you remember that thing and then you get angry again. You get bitter again. You start playing scenarios where you want to punish them and hurt them and whatever. And then they, being the offenders, are also, every time something doesn't go wrong right, it's like, oh, maybe it's because of that thing I did to that person. Maybe it's because of how I acted at this time. Maybe it's because of this. I've been on both sides and none of them has actually felt good. So I find that this spirit of offense is so powerful. It's so important. And sometimes when we're praying about something, before we keep praying, we need to go and release that offense. We need to release that unforgiveness. We don't have to physically go and meet the person, but you need to just say, God, I release this person. Because I want to be able to have an authentic, open relationship with you, Father. And I don't want this anger, this bitterness, this resentment, this offense to be hanging around our relationship. Because that does not honor God. Trust God with that pain. Release it to Him. And I know it's not easy. The last thing I remember was before we moved from Nigeria, God had said we're going to move and we're waiting. And we had had a nanny that really, really hurt us. She did something that was really, really horrible to us. And she had left all of a sudden because she knew what she did was wrong. And so we had not even paid her. And I said, you know, I'm not going to pay her because what she did was wrong. And she also never asked for her money. Then one day I'm praying and I'm listening to a message. And then the pastor starts speaking about offense and forgiveness and all of that. And as the pastor was speaking, I felt it very strongly in my spirit to pay her that money and forgive her. And that really hurt. I was quite angry that God was giving me this task. But remember that God has said we're leaving Nigeria and we're waiting for some funding to come in. So we paid her. And that very night, the answers we needed for us to get the funding we needed came that very night. 2 days later, all the funding we needed also was available supernaturally. And God was like, and I saw the correlation between forgiving that girl and the open doors. And I've noticed that every time God wants to do something new or something significant in our lives, the enemy brings the spirit of offense. Either we'll offend somebody and lose favor with them, or somebody will offend us and will hold on to anger and resentment and bitterness. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. Do not fall into that trap. I really pray for you. I pray that you'll be able to release every pain, every anger, every bitterness, every offense that you've been holding on to. That even though it has felt safe for you to hold on to it, I pray that you would release it and trust God with that pain. And trust God to help your heart. And I pray that as you do that, you'll see God's faithfulness in your life even more than before. And I pray that if you're the one that needs to ask for forgiveness, you would have the boldness and courage to do so. I pray that the enemy will not use offense as a foothold, as a stronghold against you. I pray that you hear the voice of God and you'll be able to release it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. I know this is not the, everything is a happy-go-lucky message, but I felt it needed to be shared. If this impacted you in any way, please send me a message. I would like to know how, if you actually followed, if you want to challenge me, please do. Also, please remember to subscribe. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to Ignite with Tito. Have a great day. Bye.